Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and I want to wish everyone a happy new year. I hope you had a wonderful holiday. It is the new year 2018, and there's no better time to say that we have a lot of work to do. And although we've done a lot of work in 2017, my friends, I hope you are inspired by the Holy Spirit to do some great things. And today we're going to be talking with Jacoby McFadden, one of those wingsmen we've had on the air previously, who is doing great work and who is really a graduate of the WINGS program. Today's show is going to be dedicated to Mr. Bill Miller, who passed away recently. And Bill was a tremendous advocate for family life and the pro-life message. Right here on Holy Spirit Radio, I had the privilege and the pleasure to be his guest, actually, many years ago after leaving corporate America and telling my own story and walking away from my aviation career, moving into the Lord's work. And Bill was the gracious host here at Holy Spirit Radio, WISP. And really, I'll never forget that day because it was really the beginning of radio and television broadcasting for me. And with Bill's help, we were able to get that tremendous message across for family life. And Bill and I also worked together at the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition, where I worked with him for 8 years. 6 years I was his vice president of the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition, and we had, once again, tremendous work in leading vigils and going out to Harrisburg and lobbying congressmen and senators for the life issues. And, you know, Bill was a great advocate. He touched a lot of people, and he really was an inspiration to me personally. I had the opportunity to learn from him and from other men who have also passed on, like well, Joe Mortimer, who led the way at Voices for the Unborn in the television area. With Bill's help, I was actually led to Joe Mortimer's television show, Voices for the Unborn, and was his co-host and host for 10 years on PHL 17. But I just tell you again, Bill did a tremendous amount of work, and you know, both he and John Stanton and other men like Joe Mortimer really laid a tremendous foundation and were inspirations to a lot of us in Bucks County, Philadelphia County, and other counties surrounding Philadelphia to do tremendous work for the Lord. And so, Bill, we want to just say, you know, God bless you and God bless your family and all your children and grandchildren for all the great work that you did. And again, you were an inspiration to me, and I'll never forget you. I want to thank you for all the blessings that came through you to help me to just create a whole new life for myself. And so with that, we want to move forward. Again, this is our 19th broadcast, and this is Finding God in Prison. And again, you're listening to Joe Montone, your host. This is 1570 AM and 1420 AM, WISP and WCOJ here at Holy Spirit Radio. And it is a new year, so I want to just kick us off with a little update on the WINGS program, which is, you know, as you know, the focal point of my Father's Vineyard today, which is now our nonprofit organization in its 17th year. In May 2018, we begin our 18th year of service to the state of Pennsylvania and also to the state of New Jersey. We've been to 8 prisons, 100 schools, many recovery homes, and also here at Holy Spirit Radio. And so with that, you know, right now we're in the midst of 2 new classes, which began only about a week ago. And we have 55 new men every 10 weeks that we mentor inside the Philadelphia prison system. And things are going very well. We've had more than 63 10-week, 20-session programs, accounting for more than 1,600 men in the Philadelphia prison system. And actually, those are the men who are really, you know, in the prison system in the last 6 years. In the last 17 years at my Father's Vineyard, we've had thousands of men come through the WINGS program. And Wings actually goes back to the beginning, which is in 1993, December 93, where we actually performed and presented Wings to the children at Our Lady of Calvary Elementary School in Northeast Philadelphia. And it was there that Sister Mildred opened those doors and began the process of a 25-year journey of mentoring kids from single-parent homes. And many years later, we took that program into not only schools, elementary schools, but middle schools, high schools, universities, and then into recovery homes. And ultimately, we ended up in prison. And so with that, we are mentoring many, many men. And we have an 80% success rate, and we're doing well. It's not without challenge, though, and Jacoby and I will be talking about some of those challenges of success in reentry for our men. And Jacoby himself came through the Wings program and is succeeding, and we will be talking about some of the things he is doing currently and has done in the past to continue his success in reentry. But also, right now, as I said, we're over at the Karan Framholt Correctional Facility and the House of Corrections. When we began 7 years ago, there were more than 8,600 people incarcerated in the Philadelphia prison system. And today we have just over 7,000. And there are many programs who are doing well for the men there and women there. And we are one of those programs making an impact on the men. There are really thousands of men there, and we have an opportunity to touch the heart and mind of each and every man. We get 50 hours of time to help the men to become more compassionate and more caring, more loving, more generous, more understanding, and to change some of the habit patterns that they've been involved with for many years, which has created a lifestyle of criminality. Our job is to help them to make that transition. And so it's an interesting type of work that we do. We're on the front lines of death and incarceration, overdose. You know, we've had 11 people who have overdosed in the last 6 years now. And so we continue to move forward, understanding that you're not going to succeed with every individual that you are mentoring. It's up to them. It's really a choice for all of us, and many times people choose a different way and ignore the actual mentoring. But like I said, we have a very, very good success rate, and men are doing well. We have thousands of men actually inside upstate who are still serving time, who have come through the Wings program, and periodically we receive letters and postcards from different men who appreciated the mentorship that they did receive. They may still be serving time or waiting for an appeal to come through. Some of them are serving life or double life. Others are serving, you know, time 10 to 20 years or 25 to 50 years. So, you know, this is the population we work with. We also are working with, you know, some of the families of the inmates. And that's a very, very interesting part of the program as well. In addition, over at the Criminal Justice Center in Philadelphia, we have been approved by the District Attorney's Office and also the Public Defender's Office. And so we have been well received by the judiciary and have done fairly well in court in the sentencing phase of the case. So as we look back on the last 7 years in the Philadelphia prison system, which is part of the last 25 years of the Wings program, we've really, perfected some of the things we do on the legal side, helping the men to prepare for court, prepare for sentencing, and helping them to, you know, really get to the heart of a judge in the sentencing phase of the case. And in return, we've received many reductions in time, early paroles, work release, and house arrest. One of the benefits to being approved by the DA's office is that we have an agreement that if the men have been sentenced already, when they complete the 10-week program Wings, they are eligible for an earlier parole. So that is a, you know, beautiful thing for the men to look forward to. And, of course, they have to, you know, continue to operate inside without infractions, which work against us in the court. And also, if a man is outside and gets a violation of probation, he can be mandated by the court to the WINGS program. And with that, he can spend 10 weeks inside in the WINGS program and then be discharged to WINGS on the outside, where he will spend 1 year being accountable to us on the outside. And with that accountability, week in and week out, we will continue to help him to find second chance employment and education. We have informal agreements with Lincoln Tech and also for the CDL license, Smith and Solomon, Allstate, and Orleans Technical School, where the trades are very popular. Orleans Tech is highly recommended from the WINGS program to our men, because there you can get not only a GED, but you can get certifications in HVAC and plumbing, electrical, roofing, and carpentry, and some of the other, you know, trades, which is just a tremendous opportunity for men to move forward in their education, to build a business, or to go to work for a union position, or actually, you know, just continue working for some already established corporation. But either way, the education that they offer at Orleans Tech is excellent, and they've been really present at our last graduation, which took place about 5 weeks ago. And one of their directors came in and was kind enough to give our men, you know, some of the brochure catalogs of all of the courses that they do offer. And that's part of, you know, success in reentry. We try to help our men to move forward through education, and a lot of our men are doing well. One of the leading success stories in the WINGS program is Jeff Collins, who is now a commercial driver for Western Express. Jeff came through WINGS about 4 years ago, and he succeeded in graduating from WINGS, and then went on to get his drug and alcohol rehab over at Gardensia. And beyond that, worked on his GED, received his GED at 51 years old, and then moved forward to get his CDL license with Allstate. And today, Jeff is a full-time driver, earning very, very good salary, and he's driving from Virginia up to Maine. And, you know, it's just an example of what a person can do when he gets some support from people who really care about his future and about his family and helping him to move forward. So Jeff, you know, in the program maybe 4 years, has done a great job. He's also been a guest here at Holy Spirit Radio twice. He's been to multiple high schools in Falls Township. And he continues to, work on his success in reentry. All right. And as I said earlier, Jacoby McFadden will be calling in shortly, and we'll be talking with Jacoby about his success story in the WINGS program. As we begin the year 2018, I want to just mention that, one of the things we want to look forward to is having great vision into the future and making good use of our time. In the WINGS program, we have a real focal point, which we call time management, and the time in the seven-day week. And we're always helping our men to make great use of that time, not to waste not even a minute or an hour of that week, but to focus on, you know, growing in a positive way, both spiritually, mentally, and physically, financially, educationally, residentially. We want to be growing. And that's, in essence, the name of the program, WINGS, Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth and Success. So that growth is truly dependent upon your motivation for life. And we try to help our men to grow in many areas. And so as the focus is on, the WINGS program, our focus is on faith first and foremost, and lining men up with to do and what God says not to do becomes paramount for their decision making. And but as we enter the new year, we just want to acknowledge that we have a lot of time available, and we want to make great use of that time. We want to set some short-term and long-term goals and help to move forward to achieve great things for God's greater glory. And if you will bear with me, I'm here with Frank in the station. We're trying to get Jacoby on the line, and Jacoby should be calling in shortly. And so just bear with me. Frank, it's great to see you. By the way, Happy New Year. And God bless you for all the work you do.
To you as well, Joe. Thank you for all the work you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I listen to you guys all the time in the morning. You guys are really hitting home runs every morning at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, which is hard to do. But honestly, it's a beautiful thing to see the growth here at the station, you know, and the station's been around since actually March 19th, 1999, my birthday, and it's just St. Joseph's Day. But that is a powerful thing. We're coming into, you know, 20 years of service here almost on the air. And Dale and Jane and, you know, Kathy Gasson and all the people play a role here at the station, Dave Parker. The wonderful work that they've done has to be acknowledged as we begin the new year. And just to say thank you for all of the tremendous effort they have put forth to take the station where we are today, you know, from WISP to WCOJ, and then just moving forward to some of the outreach projects that, you know, have been taken on and succeeded in over the years. Going out to high schools and other, you know, March for Lifes and all kinds of things. So, any case, we definitely want to just see where Jacoby is. But while we're doing that, we'll just hope that he does get the message and everything is okay. But while we're here, my friends, I want to just tell you a little story about the Wings program. You know, we've been... Frank, we've been on the air here for quite a while, and the Wings program has been in its from inception, you know, involved with reentry work and the recovery work. But we had a very hostile situation one time. Out of 63 classes, we had only one stabbing in our classroom, and that took place about 6 years ago. We had about 30 men in the room. And I was there teaching, and a guy came in who was in our class. It was like the fourth session, and he passed by my desk, and I asked him to come back and sign in, and he looked back, and he turned around, he kept proceeding. I asked him a second time to come back and sign in, and he approached another individual, and he said, "It's time for you to go, bro." And the guy looked up at him, he says, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, you know what I mean." And he began stabbing him with some kind of a device. Another individual jumped in, and now it was a two-on-one situation. And, of course, what happens in prison, everybody else in the classroom just moves away and allows them to do what they do. And I left the room to get an officer to come back and pepper spray him because they have no weapons there. And that's what happened. And but I just tell you, out of 63 classes and a couple thousand men, that's the only incident that we ever had in the classroom. And so in the work that we do, there is high risk involved. There's no question about it. But, you know, we have to take it on. And with God's confidence, you know, with God's help, we have great confidence in getting through each and every class. You know, we have we've conducted thousands of classes there. And we haven't had any other issues, which is, you know, just a beautiful thing.
Well, I think, you know, the prisoners themselves have fought for you, and you've given stories of that in the past, too, where they basically said, "Hey, we're not going to put up with this bad behavior. We want the right things to be going on here." And this is, you know, this program is living faith in action.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're seeing it, they're feeling it, and they want it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and one of the things that we require, Frank, is change. Men have to change, and mainly they have to change their work. And, you know, I always say in every class, you know, if you need to change your work, stand up right now or raise your hand. And the whole class stands up, and I tell them, "Okay, now sit down." I said, because, you know, the guys in our program are doing home invasions, burglaries, robbing and running, you know, which means pushing somebody over and taking their purse or something, petty theft, selling drugs, stealing cars, you know. And so You know, the number one goal in the Wings program is to get men home early and then off probation, never to return to jail again. That's the actual main goal. And, you know, to accomplish that, the guys have to make some changes.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of times I also think that they were brought up, they thought that path that they were on was really their only path. And you get the opportunity to show them there is another path and how to go about doing that. And ultimately, I think that's what's going on, is that light bulb's going off. I can do something different.
Exactly, yeah. We do show them other options. You know, we have men who have never worked a day in their life. We have men who have never worked on the books. And that's, you know, a rude awakening. We had a guy who was about 42, and he said, I just realized that I've never worked on the books. And I got a letter from the IRS stating that, or Social Security, when I retire, I'll get $100 a month. So he says, I have to start working on the books. So I said, yes, you do. I said, you know, when we talk about work, we're talking about transitional work, which is finding work within 3 to 30 days, any kind of work, a second chance employment. And then we look into long-term employment, which requires education for a certification, license, or degree. And then the third one is really entrepreneurship, moving into your own business. Mm. And then, you know, we talk about working on the books so that people can get, you know, the benefits of being paying their taxes and paying Social Security, you know, which we know, and I have to explain to the men really that, you know, if you do pay your taxes, you work on the books, number one, you will, you know, be eligible for Social Security at some point, maybe 67 years old. But if you die, if I die tomorrow, my wife will get a check, which is about 65% of the Social Security I've been paying since age 16, right? And then if I'm disabled, if I have a heart attack or stroke and can't work, I can get 75% of that Social Security check that I would get at 67 tomorrow. And so those are some of the benefits. On top of that, you know, if you want to get a bank loan, a car loan, or a home loan, you have to work on the books and show pay stubs. And that's one of the, you know, beautiful things about working on the books. You're working on your stability and credibility financially.
Hmm. And, you know, it changes their lives and changes it permanently. And that permanent fix is amazing, but it also makes them good citizens. You know, and so not only following, you know, the law, but also in the way they serve others. You know, from what I understand, a lot of these people, when after they go through the program, they graduate from the program, they start helping others do the same.
Yeah, exactly right. And we have that that option for them. That's one of the things the judges really like. In fact, Judge Fletman said to me in court, she said, you know, you taking the men to the schools and helping them to give testimony to the youth to avoid incarceration and drugs and alcohol, other things, is a great thing. She says, why aren't you doing it in Philadelphia? I said, well, Your Honor, with your help, we will do it. You know, and so they do, you know, they are encouraged to give back by entering into the Wings program on the outside, where we take them to the schools and give them opportunity both in the schools and on the radio to mentor the kids and help to get that message across. You know, their testimonies are incredible. I mean, we have men, Frank, with 27 kids who've never spent a day with any one of those children. We have men who have served 35 years, men who have double life, men who are born in prison. We have a man who was born in prison. His mother was an inmate, and he was born for the first 2 weeks. He lived in prison and then went to his grandmother's home for about 14 years. At age 14, his grandmother's boyfriend and he did not get along, and so he was escorted out of their home. Wow. And lived on the streets. And he himself served over 25 years of time inside the Philadelphia prison system. And he told me, he said, Joe, when I get home, because he had to go upstate, when I get home in about 3-4 years, I need you to find me a residence. I don't want to live under the highway, the big rats under the highway. I used to live there in a box. And this is the reality of what people are actually have been through and are going through. We have no knowledge or understanding of some of these people's life stories.
I was about to say, you know, one of the things that about any of these stories is we often sometimes think, you know, they made these choices to go a life of crime and do this. But he's a good example. That's really all he knew. And then, you know, to be kind of thrown out at the age of 14 and try and figure out how am I going to live my life? Yeah. You know, there's really only one answer there, and he's going to get that from people on the streets.
Exactly, exactly. He revealed to me some of the cons that he used to pull off in North Philadelphia with automobiles and different things, you know. And in the Wings program, we talk a lot about decision-making, and we ask the men point blank, you know, how many men have ever stolen a car, you know, and half the class is right there, you know. So I said, well, you know, you can rent a car for $39.99 and have it for 24 hours, you know that? And nobody will be on your back. I said, think about that, putting four people in, paying $10 a piece, and having a car for 24 hours to go to Atlantic City or wherever you want to go. I mean, why would you want to steal a car and spend a year here in prison? Think about that, okay? You get your license and then move forward. And so, you know, these are the kinds of things we talk about. You know, it's all logical decisions. We're rooted in faith, but we're also rooted in aviation decision-making. And in aviation, as a pilot, you know, for many years, we talk heavily about decision-making that will, you know, steer you in the right direction to keep you legal and to save your life. And so with Wings, we talk heavily also about the decisions that men have made. Amazing. We've had men, you know, we were talking about Bill Miller earlier. And, you know, along with Bill comes John Stanton and Joe Mortimer. Mm-hmm. These three men really helped to groom the work that I've done myself for the pro-life message, you know, across the state. And I worked side by side with each of them for years. I was, you know, an advocate for them, lobbying with John Stanton many times in Harrisburg, led vigils for Bill, was on TV with Joe Mortimer, and really led by the Holy Spirit to leave corporate America, Frank. And that's an amazing thing, because those three men stand out right here in the Philadelphia region as being tremendous advocates for decades, you know, and they did tremendous work, and now they're all gone, you know. And you know, so I'm thankful that I had the privilege, with God's help, to work for them and with them, alongside them, in tough situations. Right here in Bucks County, I stood at Planned Parenthood, you know, went to vigil. I did 52 vigils, I think, in 1 year. Wow. Led 52 rosaries every Friday, you know, working with Bill, and did whatever I had to do, and up at the shrine and stuff. But one day I went face to face, you know, we're on that line that, you know, if you pass that line, people get in your face. And this, you know, this woman who's taller and stronger than I am, sure, stood about an inch from my face. And she told me to get off the property, you know. But those are the kinds of things we went through back then. And, you know, and it was all for the message of life, you know, the message of life to save the unborn child. And within the Wings program, I just want to, you know, let you know that session 10 of that 20-session program, 50-hour program, is the life program that we did for Pennsylvania's for Human Life and went to 100 schools with. All of the messages are there, along with the fetal models and the pictures and the run we had for Congress in 2004 for the life. It's all there, and we get it to the men, because we have men in prison, as I said, who have 27 kids. We have men who have been, you know, in positions where two girlfriends were pregnant, and both the girlfriends had abortions without the knowledge of the man himself, the father himself. Amazing stories that the men have revealed to me. You would be surprised. Some men have told me they know, you know, girlfriends who've had 7 abortions, and just an amazing arena to talk about the life issues with men in a maximum security jail, laying it out like we did in an elementary school. And I just tell you that we have some, you know, great connection to Dr. Les Ruppersberger, you know. Mm-hmm. Dr. Les has agreed to come in and to join us in session 10.
Very nice.
And to deliver that message himself. And who better to do it than a man, you know, with the credibility he has as a gynecologist and a tremendous advocate. I know Dr. Les from St. Ignatius for many years. And although we've been, you know, working in two different areas, I've been following him and Marie and the great work that they have done. And it's a beautiful thing to have his support, you know, coming down the line.
A beautiful family. You know, well, I'd like to ask you a quick question, though, because we've known each other for quite some time. You were very early with the radio station, one of the first radiothons. You know, remember hanging out, and that's where I met you. But you weren't doing this work at that moment. Why prison? Why did you choose this?
Yeah, it's a great question, Frank. And honestly, you know, growing up in New York City on the east side of Manhattan and East Harlem, you know, it was a really a rough area, and there was a lot of there were a lot of men who were arrested in that area. I just tell you that, and who came home, some went upstate, and I kind of grew up in that environment while going to Our Lady of Mount Carmel Elementary School. You know, there were guys hanging out on the corner who were doing favors for different people at 10, 11 years old, who were making $500 a week in their pocket cash, you know, and I grew up with that. But I was very fortunate because my stepfather was a policeman. And with his help, God bless, you know, God blessed us with a great, blessed me with a great stepfather. And he was a policeman in Brooklyn, and we grew up with lawyers and judges as dinner guests and policemen, honestly. And so that was the route I was kind of groomed for, criminal justice, you know. And I had a problem at 18 years old thinking about, do I go become a pilot or a criminal lawyer? And I chose aviation, but I never left that desire, you know, lost that desire for criminal justice. And so today we've been involved with criminal justice in a different area. We work with the Falls Township Police Department. We work with the Public Defender's Office, the Judiciary in Trenton we work for, with the ISP program. So I have in my heart is that criminal justice, you know, that thing, that justice thing, you know. But also in there is God's law, God's word, you know, God's love. And he called me out of aviation to do this full time. Mm-hmm. And then blessed me with some aviation projects. But the criminal justice side is something I absolutely enjoy. I love it. And not that you can't get burned out, because you can, because, you know, it's you're dealing with people who are so needy and sometimes so selfish or greedy. Our job is to change them from greedy to generous, selfish to unselfish, dishonest to honest. And we talk about that. If that's a change you need to make, stand up, you know. Mm. And guys stand up, and they tell you the real deal. And that's how you change men. You get to the heart of a man and through true honesty and purity. But you got to care about them. You can't just put your finger and say, you should be doing this. That doesn't work. That can get you killed inside.
Through the course of this journey, one of the things that fascinate me with that story is, you know, obviously you grew up with that judicial side. And, you know, but sometimes there's more than just the judicial side. There's these human elements that happen that maybe have driven people that way. Yeah. And sometimes those things don't always see eye to eye. Did you, through the course of this, find your own perspectives challenged and maybe even changed?
Yeah, you know, it's I've always been, you know, an advocate for the doing the right thing for the law, always. And in aviation, you know, you're doing it there too, you know, as instructor and check airman, you're holding that line. But on the criminal justice side, yeah, I've always I've learned a great deal about it and doing it. I've worked on death row for 3 years at Greaterford. And I've learned. I was a adjunct member of the Association of the Bar for the City of New York for a year on a capital punishment committee. Learned a great deal about capital punishment. Plus, just doing reentry work for over 15 years, solid, you know, with thousands of men. I've learned about the men. I've learned about the system. Some of the corruption. Some of the shortfalls. You know, the shortcomings of the system. The actual slow process in court that just, if things are not going right, that give the guy another 6 months just to wait. You know, there's some real tough things they have to go through. So it's made me more compassionate. But along with that, I've run into a lot of men, a lot of con men, a lot of manipulators, a lot of people who love to hold their hand out. What can you do for me? And this is where I've raised the standards of accountability to actually the highest level I've ever been. And I pull no punches. I do not waste time. We had a guy who was in one of the facilities last December, and he said to me, Mr. Montone, I'd like to be in your program. I said, you can be in the program. I said, what are your charges? He said, home invasion. So I said, this is a 50-hour, 10-week program. And when you come home, I said, first of all, let me ask you a question. When you broke into their home, what did you do? Did you tie him up? He said, no, I held him at gunpoint. I said, well, when you go home, are you going to do the same kind of work, or are you going to change your work? Because if you are going to do the same kind of work, I can't help you, and you cannot be in the program. So, of course, he's going to tell him, I'm going to change. But then over 10 weeks and 20 sessions and 50 hours, you start to see men making changes. Hmm. Not to say they don't have the consequences, because that individual got 10 to 20 years. And you can't just make that disappear. We have an impact on the sentencing. And we've had men who are got third degree and were facing 18 to 22 years. And we were able to create a strategy to help them reduce that. And we had one guy got 4 to 8 years from 18 to 22. That's the largest reduction I've ever seen. And we prepare them for that. So I have a real passion, Frank, from growing up in this environment in the city in New York, and then with my stepdad's help, gaining more respect for the law and the judiciary and the lawyer, legal side of it. But also, I've seen men, I know men from my childhood who have served 40 years and come home in their late 70s. I've seen them go away 3 times and come home. That's part of just, it's a beautiful thing to have that knowledge, and to understand it. And I've seen men, actually, I'm sorry to say, but I've seen men killed in the streets in multiple ways, and I've seen it live. That's just part of growing up in different areas, whether it be Philly or New York or L.A. or Miami or, anywhere. It happens. And so I have this passion God's given me to help and to make a difference in the world in the area of reentry.
Now, before I ask questions on the positive side, I'm going to ask you one more side that I think might help us all learn some things. One of the things that happens, I'm sure, is disappointment. Thinking things didn't go the way you would have felt, the person didn't really change, or maybe even manipulated you in some way. How do you deal with that disappointment when that happens to you?
Yeah, and that's very difficult sometimes. Your expectations, and I can tell you one or two stories about that. We had a 12-story high-rise I took on as a project, and I was project manager in Trenton, New Jersey, when we were working in 3 facilities there. And I hired 12 guys off the street who were really ex-offenders from Trenton State and other facilities. And we had 18 guys working on the project. We were built 132 apartments in a 90-year-old rehab project. And we had 12 guys come in off the streets, and they were all moving, they were laborers, moving sheetrock and framing materials. 18,000 pieces of sheetrock went into that building and 1 million pieces of framing material. And 13 months was the target date. We finished the project from scratch. There was nothing there. The building was there, just the floors. And we had to rebuild the corridors, the apartments from scratch. Well, one of the guys I hired, the first guy I hired actually had no teeth in his mouth. And I hired him off the street. And the first day of the project, I stood outside the building and I said to myself, how am I going to get guys to move sheetrock in this building? So I'm in Trenton, New Jersey, and I see a guy walking down the street. I just said to him, I said, do you need work? He said, yeah, I do. I said, well, you see this building? I said, we have to build 132 apartments here in 13 months. I need guys to move sheetrock. And he said to me, he said, well, I'm strong. I'm a good worker. I said, well, where have you been working? He says, well, I haven't worked in 13 years. So I already knew where he'd been. I said, well, where you been? He says, well, he's been in prison. So he was in prison for 20 out of 21 years.
Wow.
He was the first guy I hired. I said, well, you come back here tomorrow morning, and I will give you a job. Start at 7 o'clock. You leave at 3:30, and I'll pay you every Friday. But you do good tomorrow, and I'll give you another day. Do well this week, and I'll give you a second week. And we worked it one day at a time, because one of the things I learned about working with these men is you measure trust one conversation at a time. There's no compromise on that, none at all. And so he worked for us for 3 weeks. I bought him breakfast every day. I paid him at the end of the week, and he disappeared after 3 weeks selling phone cards and other things on the street. He had a dirty urine and was gone back. He busted probation, violation probation. Another guy I had, this guy Will, he's the number one guy I did the most for in the Wings program. Paid him every week, bought him breakfast twice a week, put furniture in his home, gas in his car, raised money through the Knights of Columbus and St. Ignatius as well in the Respect Life Committee there. I was the chairman of it at the time. And I raised $2,600. I paid 2 checks to 2 different courts for his child support. He owed $2,600 in child support, and we did that for him. about 4 months into the project, he started putting plumbing supplies in dumpsters and putting trash over it and wheeling them out, and I caught him. And I said, "Will, I'm going to give you a pass this time." I said, "But look, this is not my project. I'm only project manager." I said, "You could lose your job." I said, "I'm going to give you a pass." I said, "But again, I have two rules on the job." I said, "Always do the right thing for other people. All right, always do the right thing for other people, and nothing leaves this project that isn't yours. And also keep coming back to work because you need the money." And so he came in a month later on a Saturday when no one was scheduled to work, and he conned the security guard to let him in to move sheetrock, and he was doing the same thing, and only this time the guard wouldn't give him the keys to the back, and so on Monday morning he was fired. So that was disappointment, you know, and I said to him, Will, you lost a great job and you lost your greatest advocate. Think of everything that's happened here in the last 4 months. He said, "Please, you know, don't hold it against me." I said, "Look, I forgive you." I said, "But you lost your job and you lost your advocate. So you got to think about that. You know, I know you were kind of desperate, but you got to be patient and slow and steady growth, you know." And so those were some stories of disappointment. And there were others, too. You know, I've had men who, unfortunately, I have a man who helped us with the wings home, who is now at Greaterford 18 months. You know, we did a lot for him. We helped to stabilize him. And he was working at the wings home. We gave him gym membership at Planet Fitness in the Northeast. Paid him every week. Bought him lunch and breakfast here and there. Got him out early, you know, and then he ended up in a stolen car in front of the Parks Casino, and that stumped our project. He was the main guy working there, and he was lying to me about where he was. And he's not supposed to be in a casino. This guy had he used to be a contractor, and he used to take deposits from people to do the jobs, but he never finished the job. He owed about 20 people about $70,000. Total, and so he was at one point the number two guy in the state wanted, you know. But I just tell you that was a disappointment, and it had to go on. And he apologized many times. I said, "Look, I forgive you." I said, "But you know, what happens is when you run a transitional home, where guys go back in, you get stuck with their clothes, their shoes, their problems. It's very, very difficult." And so we've had two men also, you know, had to put out because they were confrontational with each other, you know. So there's a host of disappointments. What gets me through, Frank, is that this is one of my assignments from God himself. And I have to step back, recover from that disappointment. It's almost like a punch in the stomach or getting hit from behind on the football field. You got to recover from it, and then you go again. But I have been disappointed many, many times from people in doing God's work. Honestly, it's an amazing thing.
But with that disappointment, I've also heard amazing stories of conversion, of growth, of change. So you know, people that come into this program, they're not necessarily religious. In fact, they're all religions or no religion in many cases. So can you talk a little bit about some of that?
Sure, absolutely. Conversion, growth, and change. And honestly, there's a lot of change. And we start from day one. You know, I always ask the guys, you know, if you need to make changes, raise your hand. And we go around the room. The number one change you need to make is, and everybody has different changes, the circle of influence, the circle of people around them, habit patterns, giving up drugs, robbing people. You know, I've had guys who were robbing people for 25 years, right on the streets, you know. And you know, I like to bring in the story about my mom, who's 87 years old today, but in many, many years ago, about 1960.
Today?
Not today, December.
Oh, I thought you...
December, well, yeah, she's still 87, but God bless her. My mom, who worked 63 years in 42nd Street and Broadway, she was store manager at the time for Barracini Candies, and she also... worked for them in the region. She was a regional manager, but she was held up on Christmas Eve in 1965, and I was only 5 years old. And a guy came in Christmas Eve and put a gun into her face and told her to open the safe. And, you know, and he took the money, tied her and the other worker in a closet, tied them up. And had he pulled the trigger, my life would have been very, very hard, very, very different. And I share that story. You know, you ask me, why do I do what I do? And this is part of it. You know, it's an amazing thing, because my mom actually, you know, was the victim of a crime, you know. And so was I back in 1970, walking home from a pool on First Avenue, 99th Street. You know, I had a knife put to my neck, and six guys were there, and five of my friends. We were only 10 to 12 years old. And these guys were about 16 to 18, and you know, we were the victims of a robbery on First Avenue, 99th Street in New York City. So this also goes into the WINGS program, you know, becoming an advocate because you were a victim of some crime. But we see a lot of growth and a lot of conversion in many of our men, and that's the beauty of it. I love to see men doing great. Jeff Collins, I mentioned him before, Jacoby McFadden, he's assistant kitchen manager at the ShopRite supermarket under Rich Sakers, who owns 31 ShopRites. He's done very, very well with them. He's a tremendous chef and doing assistant kitchen manager now, doing great, making $16 an hour, 24 on the weekends. Bought his first car, on his way to buy a home, saving money at Wells Fargo, you know, doing it all right.
Mm. Now, that's actually interesting in itself, is the businesses that support the... So more often than not, I see in society, you know, we've all had job applications and whatnot. Were you ever convicted of? And it ends any, you know, discussions with them. Yet there are some businesses who do embrace this.
Right.
Can you talk about some of those business owners?
Yeah, absolutely. These are second chance employers. And I like to think of myself as a second chance employer, because we had, like I said, that 12-story high rise up there. And I hired all laborers who were ex-cons to do all the labor work in there. And in fact, we had a guy come in one day where we were having lunch, the 12 of us there, 13. And a guy came in and he said, are you hiring? And I said, well, do you have a record? He said, no. I said, well, then we can't hire you. And I changed it. I reversed, so all the guys were laughing, you know. So I said, no, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, some of the great employers who have taken ownership of giving people a second chance, you have to give it out to Brown of the ShopRite system. He owns 13 ShopRites in Philadelphia. He is a second chance employer, and guys are not only entry level but moving up to management there. Hmm. And you have the same thing in other ShopRites in New Jersey. Jacoby's a great example of that, working in Ewing. And, you know, I love Jacoby because he's lined up with what God says to do and not to do from the beginning. And that's why he's successful. And I took him, you know, right out of a pizza place in New Jersey, and we kind of, you know, helped him. And then he did the right things. Had he done the wrong things, he would be another stat. Mm. But he's doing the right things. And there's also, you know, Orleans Tech itself is a great, you know, employer, but also a great educator for the trades. We have companies like Dietz & Watson in Philadelphia. You know, Dietz & Watson has offered our guys work. We have the Philadelphia prison system themselves have hired people who are ex-offenders.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just yesterday I talked to the manager, the director of the upholstery shop. He was an ex-offender, a great guy who came to court with me to help one of our guys, the guy who got 4 to 8 when he was looking at 18 to 22, he was there, I was there, and, you know, we both had that impact. You know, and the lawyers walked out of that courtroom very quickly, so nothing would change, trust me. But we have companies like, you know, Baker's Industry is a second-chance employer. It all depends. You know, we had a guy in the room yesterday who is a tractor-trailer driver. He's a very successful guy. Somehow he's ended up inside. But, you know, he said, you know, if you have a felony in your past, you could still get a CDL license. And there are companies out there who will hire you. He said, now, you're not going to get hired by Brinks to drive their truck if you were robbing banks, okay? And that's the same thing. If you're in jail for theft, you're not going to get hired at ShopRite to run the cash register, okay? You got to think about it. But you might be doing some other work, you know. And so this is where they evaluate. You know, Lowe's themselves has evaluated some of our people and turned them down because of things like that. Depends. If you were, you know, assaulting people, you're going to have a hard time. Hmm. You know, we have a girl who was an accountant, all right, and she embezzled $70,000 in Trenton, New Jersey. She said to me in the program, she said, you know, I have a degree in accounting. I said, that's great. I said, how did you get here? She said, well, I embezzled $70,000. So she lost her ability to be an accountant in the state of New Jersey. She lost her job making $60,000 a year. She lost all her credibility. She lost 4 years of pay. Okay. I said, was it worth it? No. And that's, you know, now she has wisdom, you know, but mm-hmm. now she's lost that ability to be an accountant. So she'll never get that job. She might create her own company and do some kind of accounting services or something, but basically she could never get hired. So you lose that opportunity once you cross that line. And assault is a big thing, you know, especially with a weapon. That is a tough thing. People are going to frown on you for that, you know. If you are a reformed drug user, you know, and now you have credibility, you know, they'll give you a chance, but you have to make sure. And I've hired guys themselves. I said, you know, we have to make sure you are clean and sober. You will not come on anybody's property unless you are clean and sober. I can't risk it for personal property or people, you know. And so if you come in high, you're done. You know, not only if you come in high, you have a dirty urine, you're going back to prison. And in the Wings program, I have the actual power to put people back in now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's the part of the deal. Mm. I'll give you 100%, but understand, when you come home, you got to have to answer to us for 1 year on a weekly basis what you're doing, where you're going, and you also have to answer the probation. So if you're using again, you're done. You know, they're going to find it right there in the urine. And so, but our job is not to, you know, find fault, is to build people up, honestly, and that's what we try to do. When employers have fired them, when families have disowned them and thrown them out, when they've lost everything, gone bankrupt, that's when Wings comes in and picks them up. And that's where the Lord comes in. You have to have, like Mother Teresa, a lot of love for people.
Oh, you definitely have demonstrated that love in everything that you've done. And I've seen that love in a number of the prisoners you've had on as guests. And I should say ex-prisoners, because many of them have gotten out and they've started doing other things with their life. And for those things, you really should be proud of the work that you've done and, you know, the work that people have contributed to you allowed to have happen, you know, as well as the prisoners themselves for opening their hearts to it. You know, being open to the discussions and being open to where to take it through the program.
Exactly, Frank. And I appreciate the, you know, the support and the accolades. You know, those come, they're few and far between. So it's always good to hear that you're doing a good job. The Lord affirms you in different ways, you know, when you can do work for 4 years and then we won an award, you know, the Program of the Year in the Philadelphia Prison Systems, which is now called the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. You win that award and, you know, it affirms your work. It makes you feel, you know, like you've done something. A guy gets a job at ShopRite. A guy gets a CDL license. He gets his GED license, degree. This is an affirmation you're on the right track. You get a call. You get a call from a woman whose son is inside, his nephew is inside, and she makes a donation. After you haven't heard from her for a year or two, makes a donation for $100 this Christmas to the Wings program to say thank you for what you did for my kids. You know, this is powerful. You know, I have a woman in the program. She's got three sons. Two were killed in the streets of Philadelphia. The third came in my program as serving time. She asked me, can you get him in the Wings program? I said, absolutely, but tell me your story. She tells me all of this. I put him in immediately. And then, you know, we've had her in the schools, in the school program with Officer Yeager in the Falls Township, because I don't know too many people who've lost two sons and have a third in prison. I mean, this is amazing. But the affirmations are important, and we try to, you know, help people as much as we can.
Well, it certainly is a beautiful thing, and it's definitely God in work. And, you know, it's what Jesus preached to us in everything that you're doing. So,
and we appreciate that, Frank. You know, the opportunity to be here to speak with you. You know, although Jacoby didn't call in today for some reason, he might have been stopped. But as far as we know, last night he was scheduled, and I did talk to him. So something may have happened. It may be snow related. Mm-hmm. We never know, but. in any case, you know, it's a pleasure.
And sometimes we assume it could be bad things. Could be cell phone ran out of juice.
Yeah, it could be a dead battery. I know my son gave me that many times when he didn't call up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, my phone was dead. Okay. But in any case, you know, being here and, you know, going through some of the, you know, the aspects of the Wings program and my father's vineyard, you know, we were here in 1999 with Bill Miller. You know, we're here with you, Frank, and, you know, and you're doing a great job yourself. And, you know, it's not without challenge, I'm sure. You know, I was here when Jim Manfredoni was here and Kathy Gasson. You know, we were here in the studio doing shows, you know. I don't know how many shows I've done as a guest or as a host, but it's just a pleasure because, you know, I have the Holy Spirit calling me to do it, and you guys have given me the opportunity to be here, you know, like you know, some of the great hosts, Mark Halk and Dr. Les Ruppersberger and Betty and Bill Miller and Jeanette. You know, all these people have done, you know, tremendous work, and just a wonderful thing to be part of the Holy Spirit Radio family. It's an amazing thing. We are in a new year now, 2018, you know. And when we started the Wings program, Frank, I used to say to people, you know, where will you be in the year 2013? This was in the year 1993. And now I said, where will you be in the year 20 years from now, in the year 2013? Now we're in the year 2018, and here we are talking about it. And many have passed away. You know, my friends, we only have another minute to go, and it's been a privilege and a pleasure being here at Holy Spirit Radio, WISP and WCOJ, 1420 AM and 1520 AM, Holy Spirit Radio. We're sitting here with Frank Eliason and myself, just discussing the Wings program. And Frank, I want to thank you for the work that you do and for giving me the opportunity to share with you some of the challenges, some of the successes in the Wings program. I want to wish you and everybody here at the station a wonderful and blessed new year, and may, you know, everything come to fruition that has to be for the Lord's kingdom here on earth in the year 2018. I hope that we have a real hand in helping the Lord to do what he wants to do. And we just pray that the Blessed Mother will intercede for us in all respects. And God bless you, my friends. We have another 15 seconds. I want to thank you for tuning in with us, listening to us today here at Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. Lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.